Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're cold. I'm trying to make some plans to counter the cold. One guy that's never cold, always hot. Our guy Barstool Nate joins us now. Hello, Nate Diggy Dog. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, it's a little cold for you, JP. You gonna be okay?
It's cold for B. Mitch. You gonna say that to him?
B. Mitch is a man.
Yeah, he's cold, so I'm cold.
He's a survivor, though, B. Mitch.
Yeah, I'm going to fight through it. I'm going to fight through it, man. I'm not going to talk about it on air.
Someone needs to take you home playing.
As Nate sit in his house in his heat.
Yeah. Yo, actually, you're just the guy I need to talk to, Nate. Okay. I've hurt my foot.
Oh.
What do I do?
He fell off a curb like you did.
Nah, I was jogging on a treadmill, and it hurts, and it hasn't stopped hurting since. What do I do?
You exercised for the first time in 15 years before yesterday, so that doesn't happen to you.
I love that routine.
Tape it up, man.
I exercise fairly regularly. It dissipates some in football season, but I go to the gym 2-3 times a week. I'm not on some crazy, you know, protein steroid plan like you to go from 158 to 163, but I still exercise.
5 pounds? That's just a hot dog or two.
That's 5 pounds of muscle you're talking about.
He's getting that eating those glizzies.
Glizzy Goblin, Nate Dog. All right, some kind of news this morning that I think is an interesting jump-off point for us to have a conversation. The Bears have fired Shane Waldron. Yep. They hired Waldron to be their offensive coordinator from Seattle, where the offense was fairly stagnant. They brought him in to work with Caleb Williams. Clearly, it's a disaster. I think Eberflus was not the right guy to coach that whole situation, but it's a self-preservation league, B, and Eberflus is firing the OC to try to keep his job. That's how this thing works. Much has been made about the Bears talking to Kingsbury and deciding to go with Waldron instead. Mm-hmm. The Raiders also talked to Kingsbury. They decided to go with the guy Luke Getsy.
Well, they decided because Maggie rolled in and persuaded him to come here.
Well, both those guys have been fired. Getsy and now Waldron. There was a lot of angst. A lot of analytical people were saying that Cliff wasn't the right guy for the job. Nate, how do you feel about Cliff at this point through 10 games?
How do I feel about Cliff? I'm ready to build him a statue. Like, it is one of those hires that has already paid off in only 10 weeks. It was the smart hire, the correct hire. It was everything we could have imagined it to be and more. And I think it was easy when he was hired to be skeptical because he did come with some coaching baggage and people had preconceived notions and thoughts about who he was as a coach. And I think he has dispelled all of those preconceived notions from all the haters and the negativity. And I think he has proven that he is one of the more elite offensive coordinators in the league. And I hope we can hold on to him and he does not become the Chicago Bears head coach next season.
If I was Cliff, I wouldn't take the Bears job. Now, maybe working with Caleb is appealing enough. Brian, you know this league. You know that Cliff is getting paid by the Cardinals through 2026. So it's not like a lack of cash here.
Yeah.
How interested in new jobs would you be if you're Kingsbury?
Well, if I'm Kingsbury, the only new job I'm going to take is where I'm going to go in with all control. He's in a position right now where he can wait or he can tell him, give me a blank check and let me write down what I want. Plus, I want to have control of this, that, and the other. But if you don't give me control and I'm not working with a guy like a Caleb, I'm not leaving Jaden. I'm damn sure not going to make a move straight to the left or the right. You know what I mean? That ain't happening.
Yeah, I don't – the Bears are, from ownership down, what we have been struggling and fighting against, you know, for our entire lives. And now that's the Bears. Ownership is terrible. Management is terrible. The coaching staff is terrible. The players don't like the coaching. The players don't like anything. Caleb
– don't say they like the quarterback. I tell you that.
We are watching – did you see the clip of the offensive line didn't even pick him up off the field after he was speared to death? It is
– I've seen that. I've seen that happen in other places.
It's a bad situation in Chicago, and we are watching in real time an entire organization fail their quarterback by not giving him the structure and the coaching that he needs to succeed And we've seen it all too many times in Washington and across the league in other organizations, and we're watching it in Chicago. And I don't think there's anything Caleb can even do. You know, he's there with the guys that they have put to surround him. Terrible head coach, and now they just fire the offensive coordinator. It should have been fired, but fired the offensive coordinator halfway through the season. They did not give him an offensive line. And DJ Moore looks like he'd rather be anywhere else than in Chicago. It is a dire, dire, dire situation right now out there.
They've been broken since the Hail Mary, honestly. We are talking with our friend Eric Nathan, Little Nate X, Barstool Nate. You can give him a follow on X and Instagram at Barstool Nate. To me, the job that I would find intriguing, now you do have ownership questions, undeniably, but I think you've got the only quarterback in the NFL, I believe, that's gone to Arrowhead and beat Mahomes in a playoff game, Joe Burrow. I wonder what the Bengals do with Zach Taylor. I wonder if that thing needs a refresh. If I was Kingsbury, that's the only job that would intrigue me. Mm-hmm. Does that seem fair?
I think the ownership question in Cincinnati has, you know, ever since, you know, Mike Brown is a terrible owner. Always the Brown
they don't
family
like to pay.
Them messing up the Jamar Chase thing when the platform for what you need to pay based on Jefferson exists, you know what I mean? Like, that would give me pause.
That is a bad organization that has gotten lucky in the last couple years with Joe Burrow. But traditionally, the Bengals are god-awful. Marvin Lewis was there for 15 years, did not win one single playoff game. They are a cheap organization. They are still run like the, you know, like the old days where the ownership oversteps and has too much control. I do not think that's a good situation for any head coach.
Astonishingly small scouting department. Like, it's like say these dudes are 20 deep, whatever the number is. I bet they're 60.
You have to change up all that. And that's the only way I'm going to leave them, Cliff. But the whole thing about it is, not worried about that. He's not going anywhere to this.
He's not going anywhere before Thursday.
So I'm not worried about that at this point. I'm not worried about it throughout this year. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Nate Dogg, specific to – well, I mean, let's start looking back at the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
They were right there. A number of little moments, little mistakes, made a mistake, added up to losing. What did you make of the Pittsburgh loss?
But I'm going to be so spot on what I'm about to say. It's going to blow everybody's minds, and everybody knows it already. I'm just going to say it anyway. That was a game that we win 9 out of 10 times if the wide receivers catch the ball. And I'm not throwing the wide receivers under the bus because I've used this example many times. You can't make a 68 overall guy in Madden become a 99 overall guy in Madden. We had so many opportunities to win that game if guys could just step up and be a number two wide receiver, and they cannot do it. There's been little specks here and there. Oh, good run after catch by Diami Brown. Oh, Noah Brown got open. But they are not the guys, and we need a number two option to Terry, who is a perfect wide receiver, so badly. Zach Ertz, what is he doing out there just falling to the ground after every single catch? Or he catches the ball behind the sticks. He doesn't pick up any yards after contact. And then he drops maybe the most important ball of the game. And that's how we lose. Like, good teams with all the depth necessary to win games win that game. And I think it shows that Jaden has been working miracles out there. It made me think he's more of an MVP after the loss because of what he's been able to do with the lack of talent surrounding him on the offense at the wide receiver and tight end positions. It was astonishing how poorly the wide receivers, besides Terry, played the entire game. It wasn't just one series or one drop. It was the entire game. And Jaden wasn't at his sharpest. I think he is still struggling with the rib injury, but it shouldn't have mattered. That was a very winnable game that they lost because, honestly, they just did not add a weapon at wide receiver, and that's part of being a rebuilding team, which we are. We are getting spoiled by this team being so good so soon in the rebuild that we have to remember that there's a reason that, you know, this was supposed to be a process. And one of those processes is getting talent at the wide receiver and tight end positions that we do not have right now.
Do you think the lack of the running game also hurt?
A little bit. I mean, obviously, Brian Robinson is one of the top backs in the game. today, but that is not why we lost. We can win without him. We have won without him. He was a running back is way
they
more.
Beat the Giants without him.
Go ahead.
They beat the Giants without him.
I think that's win. When I look at the scoreboard, that's a win to me. So what I'm saying is it's easier to replace a running back in the running game than it is to get a bad wide receiver to become a good wide receiver.
I agree with that, but there are some facts here that they've won 7 games with this receiving core, and when Robinson's out, they're 1-2.
That's because Jaden is a miracle worker. Jaden is such an elite quarterback, and he's so accurate that he can turn bad wide receivers into good wide receivers, but sometimes the carriage turns back into the pumpkin, and that's what we saw against the Steelers. When you play a very good defense like the Steelers, you need your bad wide receivers to overachieve, and they did not do that on Sunday, and that's why we lost.
You're putting that whole L on the receivers.
No, I'm putting it on just the fact that Ron Rivera was a terrible drafter over the last 5 seasons, and we're still recovering from that. And we have to accept that as a fan base, that as good as we look and as great as this team is, as good as all these guys have been playing all season, and I love where we're at as a team and a franchise and a fan base and everything. I think everything is in motion perfectly, and we are way ahead of where we all thought we would be at this time. But we have to remember, we also got set back 5 years by terrible scouting and terrible drafting, and this is just what happens when you play against a team like the Steelers. That kind of comes to light, right? Like, that shines more through when you play against the Steelers than the Giants. So, but when you watch that game back, which I sadly did because I'm crazy, there's so many times it's like, oh my God, we're better than the Steelers. We can beat the Steelers. This was such a winnable game, and it's so annoying because it's just like, we don't lose this game next season because we will have all that cap room that we will spend in the offseason and another draft to rebuild this roster. It's just, we aren't quite there yet.
Talking with our friend Barstool Nate here, and he is fired up. I don't think you're wrong specific to the Steelers. I think the Steelers might be really good, and everybody's kind of sleeping on them because not entirely convinced Russ has shed the alien that took over his brain, right? Mm-hmm. But Washington now has another really tough opponent coming up Thursday night, and there was a time where Philly seemed like a mess. Mm-hmm. Then they had their bye week. Now they've won 5 in a row, and Jalen Hurts is playing really good football.
True.
What do you think about Thursday night in Philly? What's your level of concern as the injuries keep stacking up in Washington?
Just one more thing, because Commander's Twitter hates St. Juste, hates him. They want him dead. They want him stoned. They want him thrown in a river. Look, this guy is not Albert Haynesworth out there with a $100 million contract laying on the field doing nothing. He's a guy that has been thrown into a situation that he's not good enough to handle, but he's giving 150% on every play. Yeah, he's getting burned left and right, but that's what happens when you don't have a great corner playing where a great corner needs to be playing. But I don't hate the guy because he's doing everything and more that he can. And Commander's Twitter is just wringing him out to dry like he's like the biggest scapegoat and the reason we lost the game. That's not the reason we lost the game. There's many reasons we lost the game. He might be one of them, but he's not giving up on any play. Like, I don't understand the hatred for a guy who's been thrown into an impossible situation. Like, if you're not the guy, you're not the guy. But he is our best option because of the lack of depth at corner.
Of all the stuff, like, I was asked about the injuries and getting ready for Thursday night. I think Jeff does this too. I think you get too caught up in what people are saying on Twitter. Like, who cares? I think BSJ will be much better served when Lattimore gets on the field. He works hard. He's a really good young man. He's a total pro about taking ownership after losses and stuff.
Right. Like, but he's the man. And I know what you're saying. Who cares about Twitter? A lot of the fan base despises him, like absolutely despises him, and I got to stand up for him because I just don't think he's doing anything wrong out there. Like, maybe he's not a 99 overall guy, sure, but what's our next best option? There is none. So we just have to you play the cards that are dealt.
Sure, but that I asked you if you were worried about the injuries in Thursday night. Now, what you're saying about St. Juice, I don't necessarily disagree with, but I'll ask again, are you worried about the injuries? And Thursday night's obviously a huge game with NFC East on the line.
Yeah, of course. It's a short week on the road. Our bye week isn't till week 14, which should be illegal. That is, I mean, the first bye week is week 5 and our bye week is week 14. We are a banged up team playing on Thursday on the road in Philly, a divisional game. It's the toughest game of the season, scheduling wise, injury wise, opponent wise, everything. The Ravens game that we played, that was a winnable game. The Steelers game that we just played, that was a winnable game. This is the most worried of any game on the schedule I've been because of everything that we've mentioned. I think it's a winnable game. I don't think the Eagles are heads and shoulders better than us. I think they've definitely, as you said, put it all together. You know, you're not hearing people in Philly yelling for the head coach to be fired quite the second. So, yeah, I think this is definitely our toughest game. And I love the resilience of the Commanders. I'm not saying that it's a scheduled loss or anything like that, but it's going to be tough. It's definitely going to be tough.
Do you think they can win without Brian Robinson?
Yes, I think the Commanders team is good enough to win any given game, even without Brian Robinson. I think the offensive line is a bunch of dogs who understand their assignments. I think that Cliff Kingsbury understands how to change the offense when you don't have your starting running back. And I think running backs in the NFL, as we know, are generally replaceable. And I'm not saying Brian Robinson is just any standard, like whatever throwaway running back, but I fully believe that when you're a good team like we are, you can win without Brian Robinson.
It's going to be a hell of a game. What do you do for that game? You're Mr. Healthy now. You don't go out to bars anymore. What will you do for a Thursday night game?
Yeah, so on Thursday night games, I'll come to work. I'll grind. I'll put the company on my shoulders. I'll go home. I'll eat some protein. I'll go to the gym. I'll shower. I'll eat more protein. And then I'll buckle in for the game. And that's basically my routine every day.
Nate's full of crap. He don't go to the bar because they, you know, like when you go to the ride the rides at the fair.
Yeah.
You got to have a certain height. They don't let him in the bars anymore.
Get out of town, dude. I mean, they don't allow you at fairs because they check your ID and you're too old to be there.
Hey, I bet you I'll ride any ride you can't. You go ride the merry-go-round.
An amusement park. Why don't you come down to Philly and meet us, dude?
I'm just so busy on Thursday, you know.
Got to wear a lot of burgundy and gold so I can send people after you.
Got to do tests and tries on Thursday.
Man, Nate ain't lifting no weights, man.
Check out his Instagram.
He's showing you somebody else.
I don't think he's lifting weights like you once did, but he's lifted some weights. He's out there grinding. I'll give you a little credit, Nate, dog.
Thank you.
What are you weighing now?
Like almost 170.
Bang.
I've put on like 15 pounds of muscle this year. I might be the slot corner by the end of the season.
Good luck, man. Thank you for the time, Nate.
Later, dude.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys.
Eventually, one of these days, Barstool Nate is going to move back to the DMV. I can feel it.
He might.
He wants to come back. He's got a little nephew in town. When he does, he should call.
Is his nephew taller than him already?
Maybe.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right. I think this is a fair question to ask, Brian. And I think it was a factor the other night. Landfill asked the questions. I just reiterate them.
Okay.
What is the bigger weakness for
teams to be being picked on? The rest of the guys, I think, are playing okay. Samuel Steele has gotten way better.
You mean, so you're saying corner is the problem? Corner is the biggest weakness.
I'm saying receiver is the biggest weakness.
Okay.
Yeah, what is the biggest? I say receiver. But I'm looking at the cornerback, and St. Juice seems to be having issues at certain points. And I understand what Nate said. Yeah, he's there. But if you're there all the time, you got to start making plays and stop giving up plays. When I flip it over to the receiver core, Terry is playing tremendous.
Third leading receiver in the NFL.
Wichcomb had a great catch in that Hail Mary. But for the most part, those guys are not living. Nobody has jumped and say, hey, I'm the number two. You know what I mean? So I would have to say that the cornerbacks overall have played a little better.
I understand what Nate is saying about St. Juice in that the vitriol that surrounds him on some of these websites is stupid and over the top. But that's just the nature of social media, where everybody's a nameless, faceless zombie and can just say outrageous things. Mm-hmm. The corners haven't been great, but they were aware of that coming in. I think Mikey plays with a level of physicality that's pretty unmatched in that position. Mm-hmm. But he's lost some battles. Noah Eye's lost some battles.
See, the thing about it, Joe Jay, you're expected to lose some battles.
Sure.
But not damn near the majority of them.
I think at some point we got to have an honest conversation about Forbes. He played 3 defensive snaps last week, and it does not fall on this. The current people in this building are not to blame for this. That's just such a big miss that it's hurting the organization. And when you miss on first rounders, not to say that that's all you should ever – there was an over-reliance and over-dependence on first-rounders, and that was a problem. Mm-hmm. But when you just miss on them over and over again, you're going to have some talent deficiencies. And I think you see that defensively. I think the fact that Gonzalez went one pick after Forbes is really a kick in the butt organizationally when you look at same position and what Gonzalez is doing for New England. But at a certain point, that no longer matters, right? If they can get Lattimore up and going, I think he can immediately change – the defensive back room. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's an immediate change. Like, I don't see, all right, all of a sudden Luke is going to start playing like Devontae Smith or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think big picture receiver needs to be addressed. I think short term they tried to address corner, and he's got to get healthy. They clearly, if you look at the structure of the contract and everything, they clearly believe he's going to help them this year. Maybe that's Thursday. Maybe that's next weekend against Dallas. Mm-hmm. But they still have 7 regular season games remaining. They still have a bye week coming up. They're going to have 4 after that against 2 playoff teams. And they're probably going to end up on Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. Like, there's a lot of big football to be played. And I think your cornerback's position is going to look a lot better.
Yeah.
I don't know that it is at wideout.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. Listen, one thing I'll say, after playing this game for so long, I believe every guy is giving their effort. Nobody's out there.
No, anybody that questions effort is.
Nobody's BSing around. Yeah. But ultimately, eventually, you're going to be judged off of the success rate. And that success rate, you know, St. Juice has made plays this year. And I always say about, I should mention to you about Tony Romo. Tony Romo would be great to the last play of the game. So people remember him about the last play of the game.
When you make plays, right?
St. Juice right now is being remembered by the last play he just made and didn't make. And I think that's the whole thing. And I think that's something cornerbacks and receivers live with on a regular basis. Me being a returner, hell, you go back there, you get a kick return, and you return one early, but you drop the one muffed late in the game, that's all they're going to talk about. You know, so you got, it's just that it comes with the business, and you get used to just dealing with it and moving on. Because half the time, most of us that make comments about a certain job, certain person's job on the football field, we don't have a clue, even if we did play the game.
What's fascinating, dude, is our friend Drew Cohen was kind of texting me about this morning, and it's hard to know the answer. But, like, this has become such a thing specific to LeBron over the years with, like, the clutch gene, right? Mm-hmm. And it's important to understand that a touchdown in the first quarter has the same value as a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They're both worth 6 points, right?
That's not how memory works, though.
But when you make big plays or when you make bad plays also matters. And to try to specify that with, like, an analytic would be really interesting. It's something we should ask Greenberg about. But you are right. BSJ tends to have tough moments in tough moments for the team. But the receivers do too. Think about, I mean, they had big drops in big moments. And I think, by and large, the group of receivers assembled has outperformed probably expectations, but expectations were pretty low. And that doesn't make it better or worse. I think you'd be better served if you were able to add somebody to that group. I just don't know who that's going to be at this point. It's probably not happening. It's a real question, though. It's a real question going into Thursday night. I want to ask the boys in the aquarium that exact question. What do they consider the bigger hole Is it wide receiver two, cornerback one, cornerback two? Or maybe there's something else. Maybe there's a bigger area that maybe it's the running backs without B-Rob, because all of a sudden that group was not able to generate a whole lot of action in two games now. If you look at the Ravens and the Steelers, the best two teams they played, they've lost to both. They combined they ran for a buck 10 between the two games, call it 55 yards a game, which is about 100 yards off their normal pace.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if Jaden gets back as a runner this week. So much to try to figure out in advance of Thursday night. We are both heading up to Philly tomorrow afternoon.
B-Mitch of Philly, 106.7 The Fan. We're out here at the park as the Commanders get ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday. And today is a different plan for the week. They normally will be chilling on a Tuesday, but they're out here today. They have a long day, walk through, get everything installed. And JP and I will be traveling up there tomorrow as we get ready to cover this whole thing.
If somebody asks who's the one eating all the Oreos in the media room, I'm pulling my best Shaggy. It wasn't me.
Well, look like you're the only one eating them.
They're banging. These are candy cane JoJo's, as a matter of fact. I want to ask the boys.
Kit Kats and Oreos. Yeah, they're going to add a little something around the waist, though.
Yeah, this is the time of year. Like, from here till February.
You know, Dr. Evan Rickleman told me, he said, you know what? People gain about 15 pounds from this point right here to the end of the year.
I won't get that high.
Yeah, you get about 7.5.
I was going to say 6-7. Totally. But for me, with my weight, if I, like, try to take care of it for 4 days, I can shed that. Like, if I get to 204, I could get back to 197 within a week fairly easily. Like, not eat 8 cookies before noon.
You think?
Yeah. Some of it's not that complicated.
Some of it's water.
Sure.
When you go run, that's just water, dog.
I want to ask Landfill and Jeff the conversation we had. Landfill, what are you more concerned about, corner or wide receiver after Terry?
It's tough. I think that both are pretty significant weaknesses. I think I would probably end up going with wide receiver, though. There were just way too many dropped passes, not great routes being run. I know that Zach Ertz isn't a wide receiver, but, you know, he's kind of basically a wide receiver. If there were better options with a wide receiver, maybe they wouldn't have to throw Zach Ertz the ball, so we can just immediately fall to the ground and pick up no yards. It's a struggle on that offense there.
Jeffrey, what say you?
I have to go with the cornerback position. It seems like, I said it yesterday, anytime the opposing offense need to make a play, they attack our DBs, and it happened.
I think they specific to
your, like one guy.
They attack 25.
Yeah, I just said DBs because I just wanted to, you know, take some of the heat off. But it is what it is. They attack 25, and it ended up either a catch or a PI. We need
some. The problem specifically, I think, is the interference stuff. And I think that has become a reoccurring problem where – The good news with Ben is that he's an effort guy, high effort guy. He's giving you everything he's got. And from a body standpoint, he's long and rangy, which you love in a corner, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is he's a handsy player with long arms that refs now have a preconceived notion he's doing it, and often he's living up to it.
He's the guy in a sense where you are cheering for him so much, and then you immediately go to, what the hell? Because he is in position. And what I've watched with D. Green from back in the day, and I've been watching cornerbacks lately, where whenever that receiver head goes up, their head goes up and their hand goes up to block. When the receiver head goes up with him, he reaches. He panics. Okay, and I talk to Mintown, I talk a lot about it. He said, when I got a defensive back that I know is going to be panics and going to reach out, I know I can get a PI on it anytime I want it. You know what I mean? So all he has to learn how to do is you're basically going to emulate what that damn receiver does. You're running with him. He looks up for the ball. You look up for the ball. Because if he's in full speed sprint and he's going down towards the goal line, he's not going to be looking up trying to fool you. He may try to fool you running about 10 yards from the line of scrimmage when he's stutter stepping. But once he's full speed, he looks, you look. And when you go to look, your hands goes up. And I think he is rangy and tall enough where he's going to touch more balls than he's going to miss. But he never looks. He grabs. And that's going to all. If your head never turns to the ball, they're going to get you every time.
Some of this is coaching at a fundamental level that, like, should have already been happening. We're in year four here. I don't know.
I believe it's being taught. I believe it's
that's
been
what I'm
taught.
Saying. We're in the fourth year in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, I'm just not sure this stuff's going to happen. He's a great athlete, really hard worker. Nobody, at least on this program, is or should question effort, any of those kinds
Never.
Of questions. I really have a tough time with ever questioning effort with pro athletes. When you see what these guys put their bodies through, I think a lot of times that's asinine. But the mistakes are, what is the old, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on me, something like that.
Shame on you.
Yeah, no, I think it's fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Like, at some point, it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. And it's problematic, and I think this matchup is quite bad with these receivers that the Eagles will roll out. You really like to think you get Lattimore on the field. Your gut seems to be leaning towards yes for Thursday.
Yeah. And that's totally me. Nobody I talk to.
Right.
You know, my whole thing is, listen, man, I will just let people know. I talk to people a lot. And most time, I don't say anything that they told me because I believe it's that level of trust, and you have to keep that. But I also have my beliefs about things, and I'll tell you my beliefs 100%. So when you ask me questions, I give you my opinions and my beliefs. I'm not going to tell you, oh, well, so-and-so told me this. Nah, because sometimes a lot of guys tell me stuff without, and they know it's going to stay with them. You know, so if they say it's cool to say, I'll say it. But I'm telling you what I believe.
I think it'd be a huge advantage if they got him on the field.
I know he's going to hit that dude right there. Talk about battle. Talk about a level of confidence. Physical. Doesn't give a damn what the other receiver, what the receiver's saying. Because he's going to play his game.
Agreed.
Which takes them out of their game sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they don't like to be harassed. He will harass your ass all the way. Where you going? Back to the huddle.
Some jawing is totally normal between those two position groups. They're used to jawing. But someone that could keep up physically and maybe even deliver more on the physical end, that's a game changer. And I think that is one of the biggest things Lattimore could do for this team. We'll see when he gets out there, though. Hopefully we'll learn a little bit more today. We get to watch these guys. How much do you think media gets to watch today? Some stretching?
What you're watching is going to be nothing that you can report on.
Some stretching.
Yeah.
I
guarantee you.
People
send back some
stretching.
Of the stuff today. Your bosses will probably say, don't must send that. Don't worry about talking about that.
I will tweet a photo of men stretching. No pause. Nobody go anywhere. Mike Jones joins us next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.